Okay, welcome everybody. This is a meeting of the PNB Governance Committee. Our Paul Martin is the secretary. Can you call the roll, please?
Okay. Okay, roll again.
The number.
Grace Aaron.
Here.
David Edelson.
Here.
Mary Berg.
Here.
Max Blanchet.
Here.
Lydia Brazon.
1822.
Marty Derlin.
Here, I want to say that I'm going to have to leave early because the Pacifica Archives people are en route here.
Here.
Bob Litterer.
Here.
Mike Martin. Or Paul Martin. Here. Darv Rundawa. Sandra Rawline. Serene Roberts.
Here.
Rob Robinson.
Here.
Deb Shafto.
Here.
Hakim Takash. Okay, we have a quorum.
Hakim will be on in a second.
Okay, I would like to propose an agenda that we spend 5 minutes on approving the agenda, that we spend 30 minutes in informal consideration in lieu of the fact that the working group on code of conduct has not met, that we spend 30 minutes on code of conduct to see if we can accomplish a resolution, and we adjourn. Is there, would that agenda be acceptable?
Did I hear that again?
The agenda is 5 minutes for approval of the agenda, 30 minutes in informal consideration, which we will do in lieu of the fact that the working group on code of conduct did not meet, 30 minutes to see if we can achieve a motion on code of conduct, followed by adjournment. I don't want to spend an hour and a half crafting a motion on the line if we don't have consensus. I think we're just going to have to continue to do the work in working group.
This is Jane. Can I say something to the agenda?
Please.
Where we left last meeting, motions relating to suspensions. That was the item we finished on, and I sent two items that at the end of our last meeting that I think we may all be in agreement. I sent three. The first two I feel very strongly about, and I would like it if we could consider those two separately. I can read them to you if you like, or else if you can get that. If you could perhaps give 10 minutes to the two motions that I sent out. The first two.
My memory was that was part of the agenda item that we were on, and that we finished the motion, but we hadn't finished the full agenda item, and so I would think that should be old business and should be considered before the code of conduct. Can we give it 15 minutes? Because nothing takes 10.
True.
And place that before code of conduct?
Sounds good to me.
Is there any
objection? Okay, so this would be... okay. So you're saying... So you're saying that that we don't start with motions, that we don't start with relating to code of conduct, we start with
15 minutes additional on motions relating to suspension.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'd like to do that before informal consideration of the code of conduct.
Right. That makes sense.
Do you need a second for that motion, David?
I think if I could have a second.
Okay, I second.
I second.
Okay.
And if there's no objection, we could.
Okay, so.
Is there any further discussion on the agenda?
I think it's fine.
Well, okay, I'll
Anybody object to it?
Guess
not.
Let me read it out here. As I have it, the proposed agenda is spend 5 minutes on the agenda, then motions relating to suspensions, 15 minutes, informal consideration of code of conduct, 30 minutes, motions on code of conduct, 30 minutes, adjourned.
Okay.
Is that it? Yes,
hey, Bob. Bob, can I suggest one other thing?
Go ahead.
Maybe if we could take... 5 or 7 minutes at the end to do the logistics of presenting the majority and minority reports to the PNB. It's just a couple of small questions about how that will actually be accomplished.
Okay. Can we make it 10? Because nothing
sure.
ever happens in 7
That's
minutes.
Fine. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's 10 for consideration of minority reports.
Majority.
Right. The
majority.
Item would be presentation of reports to PMB.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to suggest we make it 15 because nothing takes 10.
Okay, fair enough. 15. And by the way, as a point of personal privilege, I'm in traffic in L.A., on freeways where my cell phone cuts out, and I'd like to ask that whether any... Jane, can you take over for me if I disappear suddenly as chair?
I would do my best.
Okay, thanks.
Okay,
the other thing is, can we ask, while our Paul gets that together, can I ask for somebody to be a timekeeper?
Well, I'll do that. I'd
really like to stick to this these times.
Okay.
Someone just joined?
Yeah, who came on? No, somebody left.
Can you really blame them? I didn't.
All right. What I have is...
Marty said you were going to have to leave.
The proposed agenda would be 5 minutes on the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Motions relating to suspensions, 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Informal consideration of code of conduct, 30 minutes. Motions on code of conduct, 30 minutes. Logistics of presenting reports to PNB, 15 minutes, adjourn.
Any further discussion on the agenda?
No, it's informal, is it not? Consideration?
I thought that's what he said.
Okay.
Wait, okay. Yes, informal.
Okay, sorry.
That would be item 3.
Mm-hmm.
I move we accept the agenda.
Yep. Second.
Is there any further discussion?
Okay, who
right.
just moved? We accept it?
I'm sorry.
Marty.
This is Maureen. Can you just
Marty.
Repeat it?
Who?
Marty.
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 Marty,
did
darling.
You say,
could
you? Did you want to say something?
I just wanted to have the items repeated in order.
Okay. 1, approve the agenda, 5 minutes. 2, motions relating to suspensions, 15 minutes. 3, informal consideration of code of conduct, 30 minutes. 4, motions on code of conduct, 30 minutes. 5, logistics of presenting reports to the PNB, 15 minutes. 6, adjourn.
Cool. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Okay. If there's no further discussion and no objection, I'd like to adopt the agenda. Okay.
No objection.
Hearing none, that's our agenda.
Okay.
Mary, you're going to be timekeeper.
Yeah, and we're starting now.
I believe we have 15 minutes. Can you let me know 3 minutes before the end of the item so
okay.
we'll either vote the items or extend time? Let's hope it's the former.
Okay.
Jane, can you put
okay.
forth your motions?
Number 1, LSBs have the authority to discipline their members, a role that is distinct from other committees. This is a matter that is not specifically addressed in our bylaws, but which is implied by the fact that LSBs are given authority to remove members.
Is there a second to that?
I second it. This
second.
Is Marty.
Okay, who's making
the
second?
Discussion on it.
Deb Shaft does second.
Deb Shaft. Wait, who? Okay, who's the motion maker?
Jane Gatewood.
Gatewood.
Uh-oh, I have to go. I'll try to come back, but they're here.
Okay.
Right.
You have this written somewhere? You can whip it to me fast?
I sent it to... the night we finished our meeting, I will send it to you again. But
oh, wait, okay.
It's draft motions for meeting on 21st. It was sent to the on April 14th at the conclusion of our meeting.
Did you send it to the whole group or just
to the whole group?
Okay.
No,
David, Mr. Chair, this is Rob. While Paul is looking for that, can I speak to a point of personal privilege?
Please.
I made some inappropriate remarks at the end of the call last time that we spoke, and again, I'd like to apologize. I was frustrated, but there was no reason for that, so I just, again, like to apologize for that to the members of this committee and the listeners.
Thank you very much, Rob.
Okay, I found...
I've got it here.
It's the 14th.
I'll read it back. It says, LSBs have the authority to discipline their members, a role that is distinct from other committees. This is a matter that is not specifically addressed in our bylaws, but which is implied by the fact that LSBs are given authority to remove members. that the motion?
The motion's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion on it?
That is the motion, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry, this is Lydia. I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll read this again.
Thank
here.
You.
LSB, the motion appears to be, LSBs have the authority to discipline their members, a role that is distinct from other committees. This is a matter that is not specifically addressed in our bylaws, but which is implied by the fact that LSBs are given authority to remove members.
This is Jane. I think it might be appropriate if we were to preface it by, it is the opinion of the governance committee that...
Well, if I may, we're going to present this to the board for the board's approval. We might want to consider putting that rationale in a whereas, but in the interest of time, I'd just assume passive as is.
Yeah, I would say let's just get the concept and the sense of it, and we can dress up the language later.
No, you can't dress up
the language. I mean, like, it's the opinion of and that sort of thing.
A resolution that's going to be presented by the governance committee is exactly that. It's an expression of our... recommendation, and so I think that's redundant and we don't need it.
Are we discussing this or can we go straight to a vote?
Let's go on to the...
If anybody wants to discuss it, we're required to leave discussion open. I would like to go to a vote.
Well,
can you read it again? This is Max.
Yeah. What I have is, LSBs have the authority to discipline their members, a role that is distinct from other committees. This is a matter that is not specifically addressed in our bylaws, but which is implied by the fact that LSBs are given authority to remove members.
Go ahead, Max. Do you have anything? Because I do, if you don't.
Yeah, I have a question. That first line or whatever, a role that's distinct from committees, what does that mean? I'm not sure that's clear to me.
Robert's rules indicates that that committees of a body do not have the authority to discipline their members, only the body does. In our bylaws, LSBs are committees of the PNB. So what this would do would be to make explicit that they have authority to discipline their members. We might want to include subject to, rules that we would apply. But
this is Jane. May I suggest some words for clarity on that?
Yeah, that needs to be clarified. We might change the wording, yes.
While you're doing that, Jane, maybe you could say instead of LSBs have, but shall have, so that it's clear that we're establishing that.
LSBs shall have the authority to discipline their members, a role that is distinct from committees, comma, as discussed in Robert's Rules of Order.
Serene, may I get on the stack?
Yep.
Okay.
Would that help,
Mark? Is there anybody else?
Does that clarify it?
Point of order, is that an amendment there?
Before I suggest that as an amendment, I'd like to know, do you think that clarifies it?
It's better, yes.
I'm sorry. I think that shall actually clouds the issue because it sounds as though we're making a change when in fact we're merely affirming something that currently exists. So I think we should not add the word shall.
All right, then. I
disagree. Okay. I don't think that we are affirming something that already exists. I don't think it does exist.
Bylaws delegate the authority to remove delegates to the local station boards.
That's true.
So we're stating a fact.
But they don't grant any other rights of discipline. So what we're doing is we're saying that they shall have the right to discipline their members.
No,
and I would
that's
hope
not
that
what
we should
saying.
Just say subject to rules established by the PNB and Robert's rules.
But it's explicit that they have the right to. And that's why you could. That's what removing is.
Discipline and removal are not the same. But
do you think, Rob, that we should clarify discipline their members in ways other than removal?
I don't know the need to say that, but I think the language that she has so far is clear. Max says he thinks he needs something clarified. I'd rather we hear from people that feel that there are unclearnesses that need to be clear.
Okay.
Well, you want to go around?
So, but may I pose just that one amendment then? The end of the first sentence then would read, distinct from committees, comma, as discussed in Robert's Rules of Orders?
Well, we're going around to talk about it. I'm not sure that more language... I personally thought it was fine the way it was.
Yeah, this is Lydia. I agree.
All right, so could I read what I have for the amendment?
Great.
I have to add shall after LSB.
No, I'm not proposing that.
That's
somebody else did.
That's gone. Okay.
I will move it if it hasn't been moved already.
Okay. That's another amendment. Okay, the first amendment I have here is add, as discussed in Robert's Rules of Order, after other committees.
Yes.
Okay, and there's another amendment here?
Yeah, I'd like to add the word shall have. And I'd also like to add the word shall have the authority to discipline their members beyond expulsion. Or, let's see, how do I put that?
Beyond is not right.
Beyond
is the ultimate. Isn't the ultimate.
Isn't this there? Yeah, that's really off-putting. But that's a given from saying that it's implied by the fact they have authority to remove, so discipline means everything up to removal. I mean, that's
exactly
just what the language
says. Exactly,
it's
self-explanatory, yeah.
Okay, then I'll just leave it at shall.
Okay, now how many? We have three different proposals here?
No, he dropped the last one.
Two.
We have
two amendments.
We have shall.
We have a main motion and two amendments.
Given that we have two amendments, we cannot amend it further. Is there any further discussion on these amendments? Is there anybody who has something to add that has not been added? I'd like to call the vote on each of them. Can we do shall first? Okay, so the amendment would modify the main motion from have the authority to shall have the authority. Can you call the roll, Arpal?
Yes. Give me a roll. Put a roll call, dingus. Okay. I'm juggling files here, so. Okay. And here we go.
Or not.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Grace Aaron?
Yes.
David Edelson?
Yes.
Mary Berg?
No.
Max Blanchet?
Yes.
Lydia Brazon?
No.
Marty Derlin?
She went off
for a while. Jane Gatewood?
Don't care.
Well, you gotta
abstain.
We only have a minute and a half, or 2 minutes. So.
Bob Lederer?
No.
Mike Martin? R. Paul Martin? Yes. Star Vrandawa? Sandra Rawline? Serene Roberts?
No.
Rob Robinson?
No.
Deb Shafto?
No.
Hakim Takash? Okay, he's not here.
No, I'm here.
No.
Oh, you're here.
Great.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Can we just ask Hakim to pronounce his name so that it'll help?
Hakim Takash?
Hakim.
Hakim Takash.
Hakim.
Hakim.
Okay.
You're doing fine. Thank you.
Jane, I'm about to lose signal, I suspect. We're on the Second Amendment.
I have it as 5-4, 6 against, 1 abstention, and so it would not.
Okay, so it fails.
Okay.
We are at the 3-minute point.
I'm sorry. R. Paul?
Yeah.
I thought that was 4-7. Did you say 4-6? It's 4-7.
1-2.
That's what I have.
4. 1-2-3-4-5-6. I have
six,
nose.
Seven.
The nose I have are Berg, Lederer, Roberts, Robinson, Shafto, and Takash.
Brazan.
And Lydia and Serene.
Brazan. Lydia
okay,
voted
Brazan?
No.
Yeah.
Brazan with a no.
She said no.
The no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so that makes it 5-7. Wait, yeah, 5-7. No, that makes it 4-7.
Anyway, it failed.
4-7-1.
4-7-1.
Okay.
Legal ears on this call.
Hey, the Second Amendment, our poll?
Okay.
Was
the Second Amendment is to add, as discussed in Robert's Rules of Order after other committees. Do people want me to read it how it would be?
I would rather. I think everybody's clear on that.
Okay, we're all clear on that. All right.
Okay.
Let's see. Label that so we don't have a confusion. All right. Grace Aaron.
Yes.
David Edelson.
Yes.
Mary Berg.
No.
Max Blaché.
Yes.
Lydia Brazan.
Yes.
Marty Derlin. Jane Gatewood.
Yes.
Bob Lederer.
Yes.
Mike Martin. R. Paul Martin. Yes. Sarv Randhawa. Sandra Rawline. Serene Roberts.
Yes.
Rob Robinson.
Yes.
Deb Shafto.
Yes.
Hakeem Takash.
Abstain.
Abstain.
Oh, it passes. There's only one.
It passes, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so the main motion is amended. Does anyone require that it be reread?
Yeah,
all right.
We now have 1 minute, so...
Can you please reread it?
Okay, give me one.
May I read it while you're doing your thing?
Okay. As amended... I'll read it as amended.
Yeah.
LSBs have the authority to discipline their members, a role that is distinct from other committees, comma, as discussed in Robert's Rules of Order, period. This is a matter that is not specifically addressed in our bylaws, but which is implied by the fact that LSBs are given authority to remove members. Okay?
Okay.
We're going to a vote?
Mm-hmm.
Grace Aaron.
Yes.
David Ellison.
Ben.
Mary Berg.
Yes.
Max Blaché.
Yes.
Lydia Brazan.
Yes.
Marty Derlin. Jane Gatewood.
Yes.
Bob Lederer.
Yes.
Mike Martin. R. Paul Martin. Abstain. Sarv Randhawa. Sandra Rawline. Serene Roberts.
Yes.
Rob Robinson.
Yes.
Deb Shafto.
Yes.
Hakeem Takash.
Yes.
Okay.
It was one abstention and no no's.
Two abstentions.
Two abstentions, I mean, and no
okay.
no's.
10-0-2. Okay. Jane, we're at time. I'd like you to read your second motion so that people can decide whether or not they'd like to move to extend time to consider it. Can you just do that quickly?
On the matter of future suspensions, we support the notion of due process and progressive levels of disciplinary action, and our committee is working on language for a code of conduct policy that will establish clear guidelines on these matters.
Is there a motion to extend time to consider that?
I move to extend time.
By how much?
By 10 minutes.
By how long?
Well, there's also a number 3. Shall we extend time?
I was not going to move number 3.
You weren't? Okay,
I
then
was not.
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
I second.
Is there any objection to extending 5 minutes to consider this? Okay. I assume by the fact that there were no objections that we need not spend 3.5 or 5 or 10 minutes discussing it. Is there any particular discussion on this point? Well, actually, is there a second to the motion? Jane,
yeah, I second
forth.
The motion.
Okay, Mary's. Is there any discussion?
I'd like to, this is Rob, I'd like to make one point.
Go ahead.
Jane, where you mention progressive discipline, I think that's fine, but not every case of disciplinary action is going to require progressive discipline.
You know, okay, I agree with that completely, and I was hoping that by saying the notions mm-hmm. of due process and progressive level, I was hoping that that would kind of go without saying. In other words, we support this notion, okay,
mm-hmm.
but there are certain times when, I mean, I don't know if that's...
If somebody brings a gun into a meeting, I don't think that we have to give them three warnings not to do that, for example. But in many cases, so I think using the word the notion would be fine. I think that...
Jane, do you is there language in there that says that in addition to dealing with a code of conduct, we would also be dealing with the specific provisions of disciplinary measures?
Well, it says on these matters.
That would cover the fact that then we'll obviously deal with that in whatever we develop.
Well, I think that if we say we support the notions of due process and, whenever possible, progressive levels of disciplinary action, that to me, that I think that would be very clear. That's my feeling.
Okay.
I think that would be clearer.
So is that do you want to make that amendment?
Yes. I wish we could just do it without voting on it.
I know, it takes so long.
Can we have common consent on that amendment?
Yeah. Can we hear it again?
Whenever possible, so it would read, we support the notions of due process and, whenever possible, progressive levels of disciplinary action.
Fine with me.
Fine with me.
Friendly amendment. What about wherever appropriate?
I think possible. Well,
and whenever possible, or practical, or whenever possible.
I would have thought possible is a little better, because if someone came in with a gun,
right,
then another ruling covers that, and that's all. That's so.
Folks, we're going to deal with this later.
That's fine. That's fine then.
Okay,
I withdraw my suggestion.
So then I'm amending it to say, and whenever possible.
Mm-hmm.
Accept that.
Okay.
And then the last thing, and our committee is working on language for a code of conduct policy that will establish clear guidelines on these matters.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, were you saying that something else?
That's fine. That language is perfectly clear, and I don't think we need to change it.
Well, we agree then.
Is there any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, is there any objection to adopting this?
None.
Okay, it's adopted without objection.
Great.
So the next item, Jane, you're
wait,
not...
Wait. Was that the amendment?
Yes.
Yeah, we agreed to that.
The amended motion.
Do you need to
vote? You should at least put it there that this would be...
Yeah, it's adopted.
If there's any objection to the amended motion going then.
We already...
Well, no, we actually...
We did all that.
Well, actually, we were talking about the
amendment.
Okay,
just to be certain, yeah. Is there any objection to the amendment? Hearing none, it's adopted. Is there any objection to the main motion as amended? Hearing none, it's adopted. Okay, we're at time for this item.
Right.
The next item on the agenda is informal consideration of code of conduct for 30 minutes. And so I'd like to start that. Mary, you'll let us know when there's five minutes left.
Let's say 5 minutes. That'll be better.
And again, the reason we're doing this is because we did not convene, the working group for whatever reason did not convene to consider it.
Right.
I just want to remind people, we have several different types of proposal. One is Mike Martin's, the KPFT Code of Conduct, I believe, that Mike Martin put forth. One is, I believe, from Bob Letter, and the third is from Marty Derlin. Bob's is rather specific. Marty's is rather non-specific. And I think what I'd like to do in this section is really talk about the different interests rather than the specific motions, at least for the first part of it.
Because there are
arguments for being non-specific, and there are other arguments for being very legalistic in a code of conduct. So it's open for discussion. Lydia, go ahead.
Lydia? No, I'm not on the stack. Did you want
to... Wasn't that you who tried to speak? Who did
no,
I
not me.
Talk over?
Not me.
Would anybody like to speak?
With Mary Bird, I will. Yeah.
Okay.
There was also something from Dan to begin with. I definitely agree we shouldn't try to craft any specific language, just the general, if I understood you right, we'll just be looking at the things as whether it should be in detail legal language or should be broader. Is that what you're saying, Dave? That's what we're going to be talking to?
In terms of the interest at stake, there are some interests in being very detailed and specific. There are other interests in saying, like Marty did, that, well, people are going to make a good faith effort to abide by the best interest, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I think you have to be a little bit more specific than that. But if we get too specific and get anywhere near a laundry list or in any way make specifics such that it excludes things not mentioned, I'm not in favor of that. I think that it should be broad enough to include things that are not listed. But
this is Max. Folks, what we are trying to do is how do I put it, nothing new. Other organizations have had to deal with that. Should we try and start out with something that has maybe some sort of proven record somewhere else and try and adapt it to our situation? I have mixed feelings about something generic, because then it can always be used in an abusive manner. But then if we try and be specific, we're talking about something that could be terribly wrong, and then there is a problem of how we deal with things that are not mentioned specifically in there, but that may occur. So I don't know. It seems to me, again, that we should try and start with something that has been tried and used elsewhere and see to what extent we can apply it to our situation. I don't believe that we are so unique that we have to start from scratch.
How come take us here?
Go ahead, Zach. How come?
I just wanted to say that when we talk about specific, it also has to be clear enough so that we don't need, like, you know, an expert or a lawyer to decipher it for us. It has to be self-explanatory so that everybody can know it without actually having to, you know, read the manual.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
This is Jane.
Go ahead.
I think that Lydia, what she posted, I'm going through trying to find these things right now. I found that she made some very important points, very simple. Lydia, are you online? No.
When did she send it out? I don't remember seeing it.
This was a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, I think I found it, number 147. Yeah, no, that's not it.
Well, maybe what this suggests is that one of the things we need to do is collect all of the versions or all of the all of the criteria that people have been put forward. We've so far, Marty put something out, Dan put something out, Lydia put something out.
Bob
and Max, Bob put something out, and Max is suggesting that he has access to some codes from some other organizations.
I put something out too, but it never got there. But still, I don't think anybody ever got it. Did anybody?
So can we put all that one place, and then everybody can basically
sounds good
weigh in on what they want in and what they don't want in.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good way to do it. But while we're here talking, I'd just like to talk about some of the interests. I mean, this is what should have been done in the working group.
What do you mean by interest?
Well, okay, let me tell you my interest. There are, for example, some people want a code of conduct that governs the terms that you can use to discipline somebody. Other people want a code of conduct that clarifies rights. And to be specific, there's been some suggestion that some of the critical comments about, for example, management personnel that happened on email lists should be considered a violation of a code of conduct. I believe that Dan's draft code of conduct had a suggestion about not criticizing anybody working for the foundation. So, personally, I think that kind of discussion where you're critical of somebody is a fine discussion to be able to be had in public. But the point is whether or not your code of conduct is really about a restriction or a clarifying of rights. So that's one interest. Another interest is, hang on a second, I'm in traffic driving a stick shift on the phone. Another interest is, basically the interest of being able to prevent abusive behavior. I mean, that's sort of something that's clear. But there was a third, and I've, because I nearly got killed a moment ago, it left my mind. So I'll leave it there for the time being. I'm sure I'll think of it in a minute or two. I remember. One reason I like it to be, I like what Marty put out in terms of the generality of it, is that it basically says you're on your own recognizance, and ultimately, for a proper behavior, and ultimately things like the disciplinary process are going to be things that define that for each local body. So there may be people who want to allow that to be up to, so one interest might be you let your own local body define it through practice. Another interest might be, again, I'd like it very specific and agreed to, so that, I don't have the particular abuse of a local majority telling me I can't say things that other people can say. Those sorts of things.
This is Bob. Can I be added to the stack?
Dave, are you still with us?
Yeah.
Can anyone hear me?
Yeah.
I can hear
Bob.
You.
I can hear you.
Can I be added to the stack?
I think you're
on. I don't
wrong.
Think there is a stack, Bob.
Oh.
I think you're in the whole stack yourself.
How's it feel? All right. Well, I think it might help if we separated out a few aspects of this, and Dave has alluded to some of them. But first is the question of specific conduct versus the consequences for that conduct. So it seems like whatever document we develop has to have those two sections where we delineate, if we choose to do that, which I think would be helpful, some clear areas that would be considered inappropriate conduct. And then we lay out a process that would be acceptable to protect all the interests concerned, the interests of the board to carry out its business without extreme disruption, the interests of minority opinions on the board to be heard, the interests of all members to have fair treatment and due process, et cetera, et cetera. So if we just talk about the conduct issues per se, I would say that there's some elements in Dan Coughlin's proposal that are worth looking at, although I have a lot of concerns and disagreements with specifics of where I think he overreaches. But the questions of, and one other distinction should be between levels of seriousness, that I think this document should try to sketch out a vision which provides a guidepost for LSBs and also for the PNB, if it ever occurs among PNB members, as to what, how certain conduct would be viewed. So that, for instance, violence, the threat of violence, or abusive conduct, which I think would be helpful to define that term, as well as discriminatory conduct on all the usual bases that are recognized by many, many laws around the country and many organizational policies, in other words, race, gender, sexual orientation, disability, religion, etc., that all of those things I've just said are kind of much more serious than something like making an angry statement without being recognized at a board meeting, which is a minor thing. I think, making distinctions about seriousness and then enumerating some of those specific areas. And I think Dave's characterization of Dan's proposal about the question of discussion of management, actually it didn't even say management, it said staff. And the word that he used, and I'm not saying this is the right word, but the spirit that I read from it was defame, which is a far more serious thing than criticize management or staff. And I think it might be worth giving some thought to if we're very carefully circumscribing that to make it clear that we're talking about something that either approaches or meets the legal definition of defamation, i.e. libel or slander, that is conduct that should be considered out of bounds by board members. But absolutely, I certainly agree with what Dave said, if this had been Dan's position to say that any criticism of management is misconduct, I would agree that's a gag rule, and we
I did that Saturday.
Support that.
Anyway.
That's an example of an area, you know, in terms of a real serious type of defamation that I think we might want to look at. But the other things that we would all agree quite easily about violence, threat of violence, abuse, discrimination, and so forth. So
I'd like to jump in. This is Max. In addition to what you said, Bob, I think there should be a third section. The first section should be to define the violations or whatever, if that's the right word. The second section would be to spell out the consequences. And the third section should be on the process itself to ensure that people get due process.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, as an example, if there is such a situation involving an LSB, the LSB at the next meeting, as an example, should discuss the matter in executive session, and it should follow a certain procedure in terms of dealing with this bad behavior, however you want to define it, and then taking a vote. That should be very clearly spelled out in the process that we're going to be following. And it seems to me that there should be some uniformity across the board, across all of the LSBs when we deal with these things. And of course, they should apply to the PNB as well.
Hakim Tekes would like to get on there.
Hakim, I would like to be on. Anybody?
And Rob.
R. Paul would like to be on.
R. Paul.
Mary Berg spoke up.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. How about Mary? Can we keep comments a little shorter than 90 seconds? Hakim. Was it Rob, R. Paul, Mary, and then myself? Can somebody write that down, because I'm in traffic and cannot.
And you have a stick shift. It's very serious.
Yeah, I know, and I'm trying to turn.
Okay, you said
Hakim,
Rob, R. Paul. Who else?
Mary and me.
Okay.
Mary actually went first.
Yeah, I actually went first.
Mary was first.
Mary's first.
Well, mine's pretty short. Maybe I could just say it. I think that I agree with Bob. I think there's an additional category about abuse and stuff, things that might not be, that might have consequences that could be very serious. So it's not like the action itself is abusive or violent or all that, but it could have grave consequences for down the road for the network or the station. I'll just add that.
Could you explain what you mean or give an example?
Without being inflammatory, we had a situation, and I'm not taking sides on this situation, but a member sent a letter saying that, suggesting to some people, and it was a private letter, but it was asked to circulate it widely, that people boycott the station. This might be a matter, I'm not saying that this particular example could, but it puts me in mind of the fact there could be such situations, and we should possibly include something like that to cover things we can't possibly foresee. Someone could do something like that. I mean, there's lots of other examples, but I'm sure we can think of them. I just thought it might be good to add that.
Is it Rob next?
Yeah, I guess so. There are three things which I think are important that we have in this, based on having worked in a legislative body. We've got to have the definitions, which Bob already alluded to, and we should define things like libel and slander and defamation, and I think we should also make it clear that the duties of membership are defined in the bylaws. And for example, we constantly get people, you know, in governance situations that say, well, I have rights of free speech to say anything I want. But the fact of the matter is that as local station board members or Pacifica National board members, our duties are to governance. They're not to exercise First Amendment rights granted to journalists, you know, in the Constitution. So I think the definitions is critical. I think the other thing, since this is a code of conduct, not a schedule of penalties, I think it's important that we describe very carefully what behavior we want to promote in government, in governance, with a code of conduct, and what behaviors we want to discourage that we don't think are appropriate for governance. I'm very concerned, however, that if we try to begin assigning penalties, we're going to make this impossible for the local station boards to administer, because what it's going to come down to is people are going to have things where they say, well, if I use the F word in a sentence, that means the penalty can be X, but only X. And I really don't think that that's what the purpose of a code of conduct is. So my point is simply definitions, and identify what specific behaviors we want to promote and what behaviors we want to discourage. That's it.
I think Hockham was next.
Yeah, I was wondering if in the scope of code of conduct we can address the issue of absenteeism and what constitutes an excused absence and what doesn't, because and Rob and Jane can vouch for me on this when it came up a few times on RLSC, but I don't know if that's going to be in the scope of this or not. Because certain members will, you know, not be able to contact us before the meeting and say that they need to be excused. And other times the excuses are just simply unacceptable. So if we could maybe lay out, you know, what's an excused absence and what's not, and what can be an after-absence excuse, you know, that after somebody's absence. Sorry, I ran on.
That's a good point. What define what constitutes excused absences?
Paul?
Yeah, I have a couple of concerns, one of which is the ability of LSB members to do their fiduciary duty, and a part of that is, in fact, free speech. One must be able to ask critical questions at times, otherwise the whole thing becomes totally useless. I mean, I'm concerned about something like this being used to simply bolster the status quo and make it so that, well, various managements won't have to ever answer for anything they do, because nobody can even question them or say, wait, what about this? And I'm also concerned about how this would work in terms of equal application of rules. In my opinion, in some LSBs, the rules have not been applied equally to everyone. I've seen people do things and have nothing happen. I've seen other people do the same thing and have something happen. And, you know, people are treated differently. And so we have to be very careful about setting up a code of conduct that simply becomes a method for a majority of some sort to simply eliminate their opposition, and that is a very serious consideration, I think, in terms of Pacifica and in terms of how we set this thing up. Because if we just set it up so that everything that happens is only in the purview of the of a single LSB. I foresee misuse of codes of conduct and punishments. So I think we have a lot of very serious things to consider here, and I think we also need to consider the law, which says fiduciary duty is fiduciary duty, and I'm sure we don't want to pass something that will end up getting Pacifica sued, and so we should be very careful about this.
I think I'm next. Is that correct?
Yes.
Jane, am I next?
That's all I know of.
Okay. My question is sort of related to our Paul's, and it has to do with the way in which these codes of conduct are always unevenly applied. You know, for example, Ambrose last year violated confidentiality of executive session, but he did it because he felt a higher interest to the foundation was at stake. I objected to it because I thought his characterization of what happened in that session was not my memory of it, but I couldn't argue it in public because I was bound by those confidentiality agreements. Now, the issue is that sometimes certain things are actually. I'm just hold on just a moment, everybody. I'm going to unload it all right here and those cables. Actually, you know what? I can do it myself. I'm sorry about that, everybody. So the problem really is that you know what you consider a violation of a code of conduct is really heavily affected by, you know, your point of view. What if one person's outrageous transgression is somebody else's reasonable action? And ultimately, if majorities are going to be responsible for enforcing these things, then it's really going to be what I'm concerned about is the code of conduct being used by majorities to prevent people in the political minority from doing whatever. I'll never forget the way that one guy was fired from KPFK for using an obscenity when he was being consistently hectored in a way that some of them thought was, you know, they were trying to goad him into something. I'm not saying anybody here would be doing that, but I'm just really concerned about that. And so going back to Jane's question about interest, my interest is in being sure that the code of conduct kinds of things don't become yet just a tool where people say, aha, you've crossed that line. So my interest is in having them more clearly define what people's reasonable rights are as a positive definition rather than a litany of, you know, crimes and misdemeanors. That's all.
Can I ask a question to David and R. Paul?
Sure.
What of all of the items that people have mentioned so far, what items, in your view, are likely to be abused? And secondly, can you explain to me, David, how rights, I mean, I understand what rights are, and I understand what code of conduct is. How does the code of conduct part infringe on people's rights?
Well, just to answer, it's on the way you've defined, like I think Bob corrected me and said that the term in what Dan said was defamation. And you've described a legal standard for defamation. But I think that there's an interpretive component to that as well. And we can always say, yeah, look, you can't defame somebody. Or Mary's comment about, well, a call for action that might harm the foundation in some way. Those are very, you know, those are things that are going to be subject to interpretation. And in some way, there's no way around it. If we, you know, if bodies have the ability to discipline their members, majorities will have the right to do certain things and to make such interpretation. I just, in the framing of the code of conduct, I'd like it to be something that's, I don't know, I'm thinking more flexible. Other people responding to the very same concerns would probably want it to be more specific. So until we get into the particular language, Rob, it's hard for me to be specific.
This is Jane. May I get on?
Yep.
Could I answer since I was also asked?
Sure. Yeah, why don't you let Jane speak and then go ahead, Paul, since she piped up first. Is that all right?
Whatever.
Well, I want to argue in favor of something that has the flavor of what Mark is out. I'll just read it because it's so short and it just kind of injects what I consider to be some.
Before you read it, let me say it's 5 minutes. We've been at it 25 minutes.
Okay, it's very short. I'll treat other members of the board and the Pacific community with respect and consideration. I will honor the confidentiality of executive sessions, and I will not disclose the contents of confidential documents. I understand I have a fiduciary duty to the Pacifica Foundation. I will strive to serve its best interests. I will disclose any conflict of interest and excuse myself from voting on any issue in which I have a proprietary interest. 5, to do the best of my ability, I will follow the Pacifica bylaws to fulfill the mission and principles of the Pacifica Foundation. So this to me has some very tangible feel to it, and I hope that what we adopt is common sense, and I think that we do need to include some of the disciplinary consequences, which is kind of a response to something that Rob said earlier. I'm done.
Okay. Phoenix here to answer the question that was asked.
Go ahead.
All right. Basically, my concern is stuff like gag rules and general misapplication of things. Like, you know, one person brings a gun to a meeting and nothing happens. Another person is discovered to have a Swiss Army knife in his pocket and he's, you know, constructively removed. This is a problem. I think also we probably really need to consider the idea that any discipline needs to be something more than a simple majority, which, if under the bylaws, could end up being seven people. I mean, if you have, you know, if a meeting goes late and people are leaving and somebody sees their chance and they have seven votes to six or something, they could say, okay, X is now suspended for a year. And bang, you know, you got lots of problems. I think we need to make it very difficult for people to make nasty political use of the code of conduct.
This is Grace Aaron. Can I speak?
Go ahead.
I think our poll, I was actually going to say something similar to what you're saying, that depending upon the severity of the disciplinary action, possibly we should say that that type of motion would have to pass by a 60% vote or a two-thirds vote.
Right.
Because of the nature of the what would be done. I don't know where the demarcation point would be in terms of the severity of the punishment, but I think that there should be a supermajority necessary to, for instance, remove somebody from an LSD.
Mary Berg here. I think to make any kind of disciplinary action, because our Paul does have a point, that I think a supermajority should be needed. That's a strong thing if we're going to actually discipline someone with suspension or censure or whatever. And also we have two more minutes, so either we want to extend or...
Yeah, can I just, before we go on with that, Emma, I'm okay, thanks. I just want to say we are close to time now. We have 30 minutes left for formal consideration, but I really am not hearing us ready to consider specific language out of motions. And so I think, if other people are of a different point of view, we can go into formal consideration and people can make whatever motions they want. The other possibility is just to report to the PMB that we are continuing to work on it, and we'll have something for them as soon as we're able, and then go through the process Rob described of essentially putting all of the documentation together and getting specific about it, possibly having another round of informal consideration once we've done that. So the question really is, do we want to move into formal consideration right now, or do we want to, by common consent, agree to either continue with informal consideration or terminate the item here and deal with Bob's item on the majority-minority report? What do people think?
Well, I was going to actually make a motion or suggest that we can continue as long as people want to, but that the outcome would be that we do collect the items together, report, as you, the last thing you said, you know, that we report to the board that we're working on it, we didn't have a chance to meet, and so on, and let's gather all the stuff together and come up with it and possibly have another informal talk about it and come to some agreement about it. I wouldn't want to abort it altogether, and I wouldn't want to hastily try to craft some language in the next 30 minutes. I don't think either of those is appropriate.
Right.
So
let
of your three choices, I'm voting for the middle
concrete,
one.
Let me ask a more concrete suggestion, question. Does anybody care to continue with informal consideration of this item at this point? We'll deal with the formal separately.
Yeah,
I don't hear anybody, so
yeah,
we're...
I would like to.
Oh, you would like to continue with it?
Yeah.
I would not like to consider the formal language at this point. I would like to do it informally.
Okay, well, given that our agenda says that we now have a half hour of formal consideration, then what we could amend it to extend informal consideration to time certain and then terminate the item to Bob's issue on the presentation.
Well, I did make a motion that upon the conclusion of the informal discussion that we gather, the motion is that we gather all the materials together in one place and we all comment on them.
I'll just agree as chair to make sure that happens. How's that? I'll put a call out so you don't need to go through a motion process.
Okay, so but it won't just terminate. We do have a continuation.
Right, we'll do that.
Okay.
Bob, do you want to make a motion as to how long you'd like to continue informal consideration?
Well, I don't have a fixed amount in mind. I don't know, maybe try 15 minutes.
Okay, is there a second to that?
15 minutes? Okay.
I second that.
Okay. And this is this in place of formal consideration?
No, yeah, it's extending the
informal. We could leave it open at the end to see if we're ready to do anything formally or we're just going to bypass it.